Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday. Lots of heavy issues, actually. The Aussie same-sex vote came through. The Rohingya crisis goes on. Manus Island refugees, where should they go? Winston Peters, should we send him to North Korea? And steam mops, of course, the big issue of the day. So let's go to Australia first. The vote went pretty much as expected.
This result was pretty much expected, wasn't it? Was the margin expected?
Yes, that's right. All the polls over many years have shown that same-sex marriage is widely supported by the population. And actually, the polls pretty much reflect the exact result of this postal vote, which has been about 61% in support and about 38% opposed. So basically, it looks like, you know, the government could have made the decision based on the general views of the population, but now we've got it in writing.
And Eliza, how has this been received?
Well, the Prime Minister's always been very supportive of same-sex marriage, and he's obviously welcoming the result. It would be a bit of a relief for him that it has gone so well. And our opposition leader, Bill Shorten, says that this decision brings Australia into the 21st century and aligns us now with other countries who dealt with this years ago, like New Zealand did in 2013. But some politicians who are opposed to gay marriage are obviously disappointed with the result. They say that they're obviously support the will of the people, but there will be a bit of argy-bargy now over what these new marriage laws will look like.
Yeah, I think over here we perhaps were under the impression it might end up being a bit closer because we're exposed to a lot of right-wing media. Perhaps more right-wing media than your average Australian is exposed to. So that's slightly reassuring. Not sure how much media coverage the Rohingya crisis is getting. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's what I mean.
What are we doing? Well, we're reporting on everything else, it seems. We're reporting on our Prime Minister having six bodyguards, and she wore a coconut husk top, apparently. And that's about it. This is Prime Minister Ardern's bag. She understands the situation. She's done a lot of work, particularly in her youth, with persecuted people. And yet at the ASEAN summit, which focuses on economic and cultural development of these countries, of the Southeast Asian countries, nothing. Some of the focus we know on the refugees on Manus Island, but they're not dying or at risk of death right now. The Rohingyas are. And yet it's a topic all the country leaders who are there are avoiding. There's nothing to see, it seems. Aung San Suu Kyi, once a hero, a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize and the face of a free government in Myanmar, is there. She's been unforgivably silent on this, and she's been criticised all over the world for it. She's failed to show any support or leadership to those who are being persecuted in her country. She's stood back. She's allowed the slaughter to happen. And why? Well, she's fearful that her popularity will fall among the Buddhist majority if she shows any support for the Rohingya. Now, Ardern sat next to Aung San Suu Kyi at dinner, and they touched on the issue briefly, apparently, and that's it. Two women who've been staunch advocates on human rights issues over the 10 years. Two women who chose to eat dinner together at this summit and not discuss the elephant in the room, the slaughter, the torture, the rape of Myanmar's fleeing Muslims. Disappointing, to say the least, I think. Ardern could have and should have added her voice of criticism to this issue.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's true, but I think she's annoying enough people. I'm sure they see her coming at the moment. They go, oh, God, here comes that woman again. You know, Turnbull's being hassled by her about Manus Island. Duterte being hassled about, you know, killing all those thousands of people all the time. It's very, she's being really annoying enough as it is, don't you reckon? Anyway, speaking of Manus Island,
I worked on the island as a security person for 3 years, and I know you've had a few of us call in. And I'd just say that I agree with most of the points that the other guys brought up, but there are some genuine guys on there that I think would be suitable for New Zealand. But certainly, if you take a look at the vast majority of them, they're mostly economic refugees, and this applies mainly to the Iranians and the Iraqis who were made up about 60% of the island or the refugee or the asylum seekers' population, and they were country shopping. They've been offered refugee status in Papua New Guinea, and they've refused that, and they only want to go to Australia. So they are definitely country shopping.
They do fear for their safety in Papua New Guinea, and you can understand why. It's not the most eclectic, cosmopolitan of countries.
Yeah, but at the same time, there have been what you would term white people have been living up in that country for years and years and years without problems. Yes, there are definitely some problems at times, mainly in the Highlands, but most of the rest of the country, so long as you don't annoy the locals, and that's what they've spent a lot of their time doing, is insulting the locals, then they're just like any other people anywhere else in the world.
But it's a really small community. It's a really small community to take in, you know, 600, it's 600 people.
It's a weird, I mean, we take in refugees all the time. We're not going to be taking in extra refugees. We're just talking about that, you know, these ones are coming from this Manus Island Detention Centre. And there's no reason to believe that they're any worse or any better than any other refugees. We'll take the same vetting process. It's just, can we just calm down, everyone, and apply a bit of logic? No, we can't, because that's not what we do. Mind you, so the Deputy Prime Minister, Winston Peters, he's going to go off and sort North Korea out, apparently. Might have been asked to pop on up there. He's been there before.
What does Winston Peters have in common with Dennis Rodman? What's his name? Dennis Rodman. What have they got in common? And the answer is they both seem to be infatuated by Kim Jong-un. And I have a picture in my mind of Dennis Rodman being with Kim Jong-un and with his earrings and his nose piece and everything else that he had, and saying, this guy's cool, man. You know, this is a really neat place, man. And thinking of Winston Peters turning up there and going, this guy's cool, man. This is a really cool place, man. We're treating him wrong, man. I struggle. I really do. I struggle. So here we are. We've got the Prime Minister out of the country for an extended period of time, establishing herself in the footlights of the world stage. We've got the Deputy Prime Minister alongside her or roundabout, wining and dining and doing stuff. And he's going to run off to North Korea. Or that's the rumour. That's the rumour. And I'm thinking, who's running the country? The answer is nobody of any value. No one of any value. But then again, maybe New Zealand is better left alone. Is that a way out on the edge idea that New Zealand is better left alone? Think how well we got on in that period of time between governments when nobody knew what was happening. And everybody was actually, apart from Talkback, where we talked about it anyway, but everybody was, you know, quite relaxed and enjoying life. Wouldn't you like to have that again?
Leighton started that comment, of course, asking what Peters has in common with Rodman. He missed the obvious one, which is they both have crazy hair that's hard to believe. We're going to finish up with the important discussion of the day, really. Steam mops, are they any good and should you get one?
There's various different types of the steam mops. Some of them have got a triangle head, some of them have got the sort of tapered, sort of just a square, flat, long, you know, head. And you want to preferably get one that has a trigger that actually actuates the steam.
That would be more enjoyable for me to use, so you can actually and do that as you go.
Yeah, and they have a vibrating option as well. They sort of actually shimmy at the bottom.
Yep. Is that useful for removing tough dirt?
I still had to get down on my fingernails or stuff that was, you know, like a bit of cheese on a tile or something that's been stuck down.
Yeah.
But you got to do that probably with anything anyway.
Yep.
But what we've found is instead of a steam mop, because some of the steam mops, you've got to push the actual head sort of slides up into it, and that releases the steam. They're a really annoying sort of apparatus. There's one particular brand called Home or Work. Hero, Home Hero, Work Hero, and they're marketed by Godfrey's. Their little vacuum cleaner is great. The little wee orange thing for a cheapie. I think they're about $200 or $300. They're you can't go past them. They're sort of based on an old Talus design. But the steam mop that they have is dead. I don't even look at it.
So, I mean, this is the value of TalkBack. See, some people think that it's not worth it listening to TalkBack. But, I mean, that guy, he knows his mops, knows his vacuums. It's all good advice, isn't it? I can't remember anything else that was talked on this podcast now. All I can think about is steam mops. I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB. Who knows what amazing cleaning products we'll talk about tomorrow. I'll see you then.